We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kittin, daf Chav Beis. We begin on the second line down for the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues with a related discussion with the previous daf. And that is our mission on the previous daf delineated a particular halacha related to what the Pasuk says, that the husband has to write a sefer krisis for his wife and he wants a divorce. Or v'nosin b'yada, and he has to give it, place it in her hand. Now, v'nosin requires that there be only kesiva, as it said, v'chasav, and the v'nosin, there can't be anything in between. So therefore, you cannot write the get on something that's attached to the ground, because then you're going to have a chasav writing, then ketzitza tearing it off, and then the sina, so that's not valid. Now, the Gemara illustrated a possible difference in what's known as a atzitz nakev, a perforated pot, that what's growing, the vegetation is growing from the ground, but it's not touching the ground, and the pot itself, where when you write on the earthenware pot itself, so that's okay, because there's no concern. You write it, and then you give it. You're not going to break up a piece and then give that part. Whereas, as Rava said, if you write on the leaf that's growing in that perforated pot, that would be a problem, because then possibly you're going to tear off that leaf after you wrote it, and then you're going to give it. That's going to be ksiva ketzitza, because it's considered growing and attached to the ground, and then giving it, that could run into that problem. So continuing on this theme of atzitz nakiv, a perforated pot, and the difference between the pot itself and what's growing inside of it, the Gemara continues with the following halacha. Atzitz shel echad, let's say the pot itself is owned by one person, v'zroim shel achar, and actually the vegetation is owned by someone else. So the Gemara says, if machar bal atzitz labal zroim, so let's say there's two partners, and they say, okay, you know, either you own the whole thing or I'll own the whole thing. So let's say the one who owns the pot sells the pot to the one who's growing stuff inside of that pot. So the halach is, kimin shemashach kana. Once the one who owns the zroim, what's growing inside, does meshicha, which is one of the kinyanim of metaltlin, of movable items, which is that he draws the pot to himself, so he has acquired it, because that's a valid kinyan, a halach of acquisition on the movable item, which is what the atzitz is. Machar bal zroim labal atzitz, however, says the Gemara, if the one who owns the vegetation, what's growing inside, sells that to the one who owns the pot, loikana achayachzik bizroim. He will not acquire the what's growing inside until he does a chazaka inside of that. Now, the idea is, as we explained, the difference is that the atzitz is talish. It's detached. It's not connected to the ground. So therefore, its kinyan is with meshicha. However, the zroim, as we said, is considered connected to the ground, because although it's not actually connected, but the fact that it gets its nourishment from the ground is that we consider as if it's connected, like for possible halacha Shabbos, like as if you're detaching from what's growing. So it has halachic status like karka, like ground. Now the halacha is that karka could only be acquired either with kesef, money, shtar with a document, or chazaka. Now, so therefore when the Gemara here is saying ad sheyachzik, what it means to say is how do you do chazaka on a piece of land, which is what we're considering the earth and what's growing in it in this pot. For example, by weeding or by hoeing, doing some type of a work in it, that's considered a chazaka, which means to say that you're the machzik, you're establishing that you're the owner of this thing, because only owners do that type of a work. Now, obviously, Rashi points out the case that the Gemara must be discussing is when the owner of the pot didn't give any money for what's growing inside of it. Because if he did, then we said that's one of the three ways that you could be kind of karka, by giving money. So the case that we're talking about is that he didn't give money, so the only way he would be able to get it is not by drawing the pot, which would then be drawing the earth inside of it, because you cannot be kind of karka with meshicha. You would have to do some type of a chazaka again by working that land that's inside that pot. Now the Gemara continues, let's say, atzitz uzroim shalecha. Let's say actually they're both owned by one person, both the pot and what's growing inside of it. Umachar and la'achar, and he sells it to somebody else. So the halacha is, hirzik bizroim kana atzitz. If he does a chazaka in the earth, let's say the guy says, okay, I bought it from you. Now, to prove that, to actually acquire it, he starts working that earth inside the pot. Then he acquires not only the zroim, but also the pot. Now, bezuhi shashaninu, that's what the Gemara says. This is what we learned in Masechtas Kedushin. The Mishnah says over there, nechasim she'ein lehem achrayis, properties that don't have responsibility to them, which is a reference to movable items, which there's no responsibility to them, meaning to say, because you can't count on it, because a movable thing could be stolen, could be taken somewhere else. Now, in the context that we're discussing over here, that's a reference to the atzitz, which is a movable item. That niknin im nechasim shiyesh lemachrayis, that they could be acquired through the acquisition of another thing that you're acquiring at the same time, which is something that has responsibility to it, which is a reference to karka, because you could always rely on karka because it's not moving. It's always going to be geographically exactly where it is, which in our context are the zrayim, which is that bekesev u'bishtar v'chazaka, if you acquire the land with either money, with a document, or by doing chazaka, beyond that, meaning to say you could also acquire with it without doing another kinyan on the movable item, by doing the kinyan on the karka item, you could with it, through that, acquire the movable item. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. If the guy does chazaka on the zrayim, he, by default, together with that, acquires the atzitz. Now, however, says the Gemara, hechzik ba'atzitz, let's say he does a chazaka on the pot, but he doesn't do the kinyan that's necessarily for movable items, let's say meshicha, doesn't draw it to himself. Rather, he does some type of a work on the pot itself. Let's say he fixes the pot, or he paints the pot, whatever it is that he's doing. So then, af atzitz laikana. So then, not only is he not acquiring the zroyim, which he didn't do anything to, but even the pot itself is not going to be acquiring, because as we said, you cannot acquire a movable item by doing a chazaka. So therefore, atchi yachzik bizroyim, if he wants to acquire it by doing a chazaka, that would only be, as we said before, if you do a chazaka on the zroyim, you start working that land, then you'll acquire not only the zroyim, but you'll also acquire nochasim she'in lemachrayis together with that, which is part of the sale, by doing the chazaka on the nochasim she'esh lemachrayis, which is on the earth, but you can't do a chazaka on the movable item, which in this case is the atzis to acquire it. Now, continuing on related halacha, which is in a different context, but again, regarding the same case that we're discussing about something connected to the ground, and where it's getting its nourishment from. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's say nikvay, this atzitz nakuv, that has a hole, and it, therefore it's getting its nourishment from the ground. So let's say the hole is ba'aretz, is in Eretz Yisrael. But v'noifay b'chutz la'aretz, but its branches are actually out of Eretz Yisrael, because what this perforated pot was on the border of Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. Now, so its branches are leaning outward from the pot, and it's going out of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So what's the halacha of what's growing in that pot? So Abaye Amar, he says, basa nikvay yaslin. We go based on where the hole is, because that's where it gets its nourishment from. So since it's getting its nourishment from the ground of Eretz Yisrael, so it would be, whatever's growing inside of that would be chayiv ma'isa, you would have to give tithes from. Rava Amar Basa Neifezlin, he argues, he says, no, we go based on the branches, and hence, whatever's growing in there would be biblically exempt from Maisa because it's growing in Chutz La'aretz. That's Machlik is Abaye and Rava. Again, related to this case that we said, that there are things growing in the perforated pot, although, yes, it's getting its nourishment from the ground, but that's Machlik is regarding where do we define its essence from? Is it based on its branches, where that's where the fruits are growing from? Or do we go based on where the hole is, where the nourishment is coming from, which is from Eretz Yisrael? Now, this Gemara qualifies their machlokes. Bide ashrush, where it's not just that you have a perforated pot with, it's like on a stand and there's nothing coming out of it, it's just getting the nourishment. In the case of, let's say, where the roots are coming out from the hole, and actually they're in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So, meaning to say, oh, yeah, although it's on the stand, but you see roots that are going into the ground, then says the Gemara, kuli amale pligi. Nobody disagrees that you're not going to go after the branches because it's literally connected and attached. It's part of Eretz Yisrael. So most definitely it's going to be chayv and maiser in that type of a case. Explains the Gemara, ki pligi b'dolei ashrush. Their homachlikis was in the case when it's not rooted in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Since it's not rooted, so though it's getting its nourishment from Eretz Yisrael, but still we see this as an individual plant, and therefore since the branch is out of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore then there was the opinion of Rava that it's going to be exempt from Maiser. Now this the Gemara asks, Ubid Ashrush Le Pligi, is that really true that there is no opinion that when it's actually rooted in Eretz Yisrael, but the branches are out of Eretz Yisrael, that it's going to be exempt from Maiser? There's no one that says even in that case you're going to go after the branches? But on that, the Gemara asks, but Tanamba, we learn the Mishnah above, and Metzi as follows. The Mishnah says, Shtei Ganois. There's two gardens, Zu al Gavzu, one on top of the other. Now, what does it mean, one on top of the other? It doesn't literally mean you can't have a garden one on top of the other unless you have ground growing in the ear. It means one that's actually side by side. The only thing is that the land of one of them is higher than the other one. And that's because the land goes in like step formation. So you have its wall of one, of the lower one, is actually the ground of the upper one. Now, the Yerek Bein Tayim. And what happens is that in that height, the earth that has the height going up to the upper one, that's where there are herbs growing out of that wall, out of that earth. Where interestingly now, you have, it's rooted in the land of the upper field, because that's where it's coming out from. But it's, so to speak, its branches, its extensions, are in the ear space of the lower one. So what's the halachic status? Whose vegetables are these? So it's a machlokes. Remeir Mishel Elyon, he says it belongs to the upper garden. Rabbi Yehuda Mishel Tachnin, he says it belongs to the lower garden. So ask the Gemara, you see from Rabbi Yehuda, that it goes based on noifai, meaning on its extension, on the branch, on what's coming out, not on where it's rooted, because it's rooted in the upper one, and yet still he says that it's the lower garden that gets it because it's in its ear space. So seemingly, he says, even by the ashrish, when something's rooted in a certain land, you don't go after where it's rooted, you go after the knife. So therefore, similarly, he would say in this case, which we made it sound like no one says, that even if it's rooted in Eretz Yisrael, but if the branches are going out of Eretz Yisrael, he would hold that you're exempt from Ma'aser. So I think Mara says no. Hasam kediktani taima. There, Rabbi Yehuda holds it belongs to the bottom one, is because if you look there in the Mishnah above Metziah, the Mishnah there explains the reasoning for each one, and it's not based on because it's the ear space. It's for a different logic. The Mishnah there says, Amr Meir, he says, I'll prove to you why it belongs to the upper gardens, where it's rooted in. Because he says, Ma'im Yirtze Elyon Likta L'Safari, imagine, right, all the land that goes down from where he owns the land on top, if he wanted to take away his earth. In Kanyarik, there wouldn't be any vegetables over here because it's growing in the bottom, it's in his earth that it's growing out of on the side. So of course it says Reb Meir, because it's his earth. And if he would remove the earth, there wouldn't be any vegetables. On that, Rabbi Yehuda responded, he says, wait a second. Ma'am yirtza tachdin lamalas es ginosei ofer. He says, look, I could prove you the other way around. If the lower garden wanted to, we could fill up earth and earth and earth up high till it actually meets up with the upper garden's earth. And if that would be the case, in Kanyerek, there wouldn't be any vegetables because he could protest and cause that the herbs wouldn't be coming out because they're coming out of the wall over here. There wouldn't be any wall. It would be just underground and there wouldn't be any vegetables. That's why Rabbi Yehuda holds he merits in it. Not because it's the extension of the knife of the branch part or whatever is coming out that's in his ear space. That's why he gets it. It's only because essentially he's saying that the causation of the Yerek is because of him. That's why he gets it. And that's what they're arguing about. And therefore, there wouldn't be any proof that we have an opinion that says even when something is rooted somewhere, that it's the knife part that defines where it's growing. That's not necessarily the case. They're arguing on different principles. But the Gemara still asks, is that really true that no one disagrees regarding when it's rooted somewhere, but the branches are somewhere else, that it still would go based on the branches? But Vatani, well, Bryce as follows, Ilan, miktasi ba'aretz, miktasi b'chutz la'aretz. Let's say the case that Bryce is discussing is when you have a tree, that part of the tree is in Eretz Yisrael, and part of the tree is out of Eretz Yisrael, right there growing on the border. So says the Bryce, Tevel v'chulan mu'ravin zebezeh. Essentially what you have Tevel, untithed produce, which what happens when it grows in Eretz Yisrael, that it's chayiv in Trumas and Maisers, and yet Chulin, which is unconsecrated, there's no kedusha to it, which is for things that grow out of Eretz Yisrael, are now mixed one with the other. Now, essentially, what this opinion is saying is that you're not going to have any one fruit in this tree that won't have part of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, which is what makes it Tevel, and part of it being from out of Eretz Yisrael status, which is Chulin. The reason being is because the nourishment that it's getting, half from Eretz Yisrael and half from Chutz La'aretz, it mixes together, and therefore every fruit is really getting some type of mixed breed over here. Now, the halachic relevance of this, that it's actually mixed, is because then you wouldn't be able to take Maiser from regular untithed produce of Eretz Yisrael, which is definitely Tevel, on this tree's produce, because that would be what's called Menachiyuv, from produce which is definitely obligated al hapater, unexempt, because this tree is not totally Tevel, it's a mixture. And neither would you be able to take from this tree's fruits as meiser for definite tevel of rest of Eretzo because it's some type of a mix. It's half tevel and it's mixed with chulin. That's the Rebbe. That's the opinion of Rebbe. So you would have to take off, but it would be from only from the fruits itself. You wouldn't be able to relate it to other definite tevel in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he argues. He says no. Hagodil b'chiyuv, what grows in a place which makes it responsible and obligated in Maaser, meaning the part of the tree that grows in Eretz Yisrael, that's chayiv. Those fruits are going to be chayiv in Maaser. Hagodil b'potter potter, what grows in the place where it's exempted, meaning in Chutz La'aretz, those fruits are going to be exempt. That's how Reb Shimon Gamliel divides the tree. So says the Gemara, my lav miktsas neifoy b'aretz, isn't the case talking about that? What does it mean, half the tree and half the tree? Half the branches are in Eretz Yisrael, and half the branches are in Chutz La'aretz. Now, even though that all the roots could be either, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, but what we're saying over here is that the tree, half the branches are going this way and half the branches are going the other way. So, Rebbe held it doesn't make a difference because even the fruits growing in Chutz La'aretz are getting the nourishment from the roots that are in Eretz Yisrael. And or vice versa, the ones in the fruits in the Eretz Yisrael are getting the nourishment from Chutz La'aretz. But again, it could be either one. The roots could be in Chutz La'aretz or it could be in Eretz Yisrael. But whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel, he's saying he's dividing it based on wherever the branches are. If it's the branches in Chutz La'aretz, it has its pater. Branch in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayiv. So seemingly, you have an opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel that says, even if, let's say, the roots are all in Eretz Yisrael, or all Chutz La'aretz, it doesn't differentiate, it doesn't make a difference. What's creating the definition is where the branches are. That's how you're going to qualify the status of the fruits. So similarly, even when you have its shorish, its rooted in one place, you'll still see that this opinion will hold that you're going to go basur naifai. So I think Mar says, no, that's not the case. It's actually miktsa shoroshin ba'aretz. We're talking about that parts of the roots are in Eretz Yisrael. Umiktsa shoroshin b'chutz la'aretz, and part of the roots are in Chutz La'aretz. Now, umay tamad Reb Shimon Gamliel. But then if that's the case, so what is the reasoning of Reb Shimon Gamliel? In other words, that he said that whatever grows and where it's obligated, then it's obligated. The problem is, if you're telling me that we're not going based on where the branches are, that because everyone would agree that you go based on where it's rooted. Now, but if it's rooted half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Chutz La'aretz, then it's hard to understand his opinion, meaning we can more easily understand Rebbe's opinion where, okay, so if we're all going based on where it's rooted, so it's half rooted in Eretz Yisrael, half rooted in Chutz La'aretz, so then Rebbe should be correct. Every fruit is getting nourishment from either side, where because it mixes inside, the sap is going to go become one collective sap from the roots of either side. So therefore, how do we understand Reb Shimon Gamliel that he's saying, no, the branches over there in Eretz Yisrael, chai. Branch over there in Chutz La'aretz, apata. But how? Why? Aren't they mixing? So that the Gemara explains, the mafsig tsunma. The case that we're discussing over here is that there's a rock that the tree is growing on that separates the roots, and it goes all the way up until the trunk of the tree. Therefore, according to Reb Shimon, they're actually not nourishing one from the other. Actually, the roots of one side of the tree are purely in Chutz La'aretz, and that goes up to their side of the tree, and that's going to be, that's why those fruits are exempt. But the rock is separating where the roots on the other side of Eretz Yisrael only going to that side, and that's where it's going to be chayiv. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, it might tamad Rebbe. So what's the reason of Rebbe? Why does Rebbe hold that each fruit, no matter which side the branches are, it's going to be a mixture of tevel and chulin, if a rock is separating it, then they're not mixing. So that the Gemara says, Rebbe holds the hadri arvi, that the tree from the trunk and up is complete. There's no rock separating. So although yes, on the bottom the roots are totally separate, but when it gets up to the trunk, then the sap mixes, and therefore every fruit will be a mixture. So the Gemara says, regarding what principle are they arguing about? We understand the case where we said for Reb Shimon Gamliel that yes, they're separate on the bottom, but then we explained for Rebbe, but then they mix on the top. So what are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, Mar Sava, Rebbe holds Avira Mevalvel, the ear, meaning what's above ground, meaning even though that whatever is in the ground, the roots, are totally separate, but once it comes up over ground into the trunk, there it's connected, so then it gets mixed together, and therefore the nourishment of either side of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz are going to be mixing, and every fruit's going to be getting from that one collective sap, and that's why it will be a mixture on every fruit. Whereas a Marsav, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, Each one is independent. In other words, the aver, the airspace, meaning the root, the trunk on the upper part of the tree, doesn't mix it. And therefore, since inside the ground, they're totally separate because of the rock that separates the roots, which doesn't allow it to spread from one to the other side. And therefore, again, that's why he holds that each side will be totally independent, one side chayiv and one side pata. But again, one thing that the Gemara is answering is, but if all the roots were in Eretz Yisrael, then no one would hold that you would go bust or the knife bust the branches, and that is if it's all in Eretz Yisrael, and then you have branches going in Chutz La'aretz, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree that then it would have the status of the halachas of the Paris of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's not a difficulty how the Gemara qualified before that the homach ligs of Bayin Rava is only when there's just a perforated pot and the branches are going out of Eretz Yisrael. But if the roots it would be rooted in, then again everyone would agree that it would have the status of Paris of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion of our Mishnah that Rabbi Huda ben Maaseya Omer, he said that you're not allowed to write a get on diphtera. Now, so the Gemara qualifies this halacha and says, Amar b'chir b'asi mishmei de'ula, he says, gimel oiresein. There are three types of hide, meaning the way they process hide, which are not completely finished. That's actually called klaf. When you totally finish and do all the processes, then you get to klaf, to parchment. But here we're talking about in lower stages of the processing, there's three types of them, meaning that they have different names and different measurements for different halachas. And they are matzah, chefa, v'diftera. And that's why we're introducing this, because regarding diftera, which is the discussion, the machlokes in our Mishnah, you're allowed to write a get on this diftera, which is one of the processes in creating like a parchment, but a lower process for as a get. So the Gemara explains, matzah kemashmoy. The lowest grade of type of a hide is, meaning when you take hide and you process it, is called matzah, which is kamashmai, like the name sounds like, meaning like matzah, which is eaten on Pesach, which is not made in the normal way of fermentation, the way bread is made, meaning you put in things to ferment it, you put in sourdough or other things. What does that mean in relativity to a piece of hide? It means deloy maliach or deloy kemiach. You didn't salt it. You didn't work it through with flour, which is done for the other ones. And deloy ofetz, and it's not used with gallnuts. So almost like nothing's done to it. That's why it's like matzah, which it's just flour and water. So the Gemara says, lamai hilchasa, for what halacha are they considered distinct, these different types of hides regarding the measurements? It's like Tzor Shabbos, it's regarding halachas of what's considered carrying on Shabbos, which means say you have to be considered something significant that you're carrying from one domain, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now, but Kamash Yuri, so what's the measurement of this matzah with this type of a hide that was barely worked on for it to be considered that you carried on Shabbos? So that's Kediktani Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, where he taught it's Kedelotzer Mishkal Ketana. It's the amount of this hide to wrap up a small weight, meaning the weights were made out of lead, which, when they're handled a lot, can be used up, meaning part of it can get deficient. Now, so therefore, they would wrap it in a piece of hide so that it doesn't get rubbed off, that the weight's not going to be accurate anymore because it's going to be coming deficient. Now, v'kama, and how much is that weight to know how much to wrap it up with this matzah piece of hide? On my bias, is ki riva de riva de pumbedisa. It's like a fourth of the weights that are in pumbedisa, meaning the lowest weight that they have. That's the type of a weight that you need to have enough to wrap it up with this matzah. That's the shear you're going to be chayv for itzah on this type of a hide. Next one up is what's called chayfa, where at least the maliach, it was salted, but v'loy kemiach, it wasn't worked through with flour, v'loy ofetz, and it wasn't either processed with gallnuts. L'may hilchasa, for what halacha does it have? Lo yitzah Shabbos, for carrying on Shabbos. For kamashiri, what's the measurement of carrying it on Shabbos? Kedidnan, like in the Mishnah Masech to Shabbos. The Mishnah there says, hide, which is a reference to this one of chayfa, which is fixed a little bit. It's not like matzah, that totally wasn't work. So it's fit, kedilasis kemeah, that you can go ahead and wrap an amulet inside of it. And that's the measurement of chayfa. Next one up, diftera, which is the one we spoke about in our Mishnah, is the maliach v'kemeah. It's salted and it's worked through with flour, but v'loy ofetz, it's not processed with gallnuts. But my hilchas of what halachic relevance do we say does diftera have in halacha? That's like Tzor Shabbos. That's regarding carrying on Shabbos. The Kamashiyurin, how much is its measurement? Is k'day lichtiv alav es haget. It's enough that you could write in it the text of a get, meaning like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah who say to write a get on Diftar is going to be kosher, not like what we quoted Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira from our Mishnah that he holds, you're not allowed to write a get on Diftar because it's a type of a hide that when you write in it, it could be easily forged and not noticeable. Therefore, you can't write on such a get because it might be forged. Now, Rashi just points out, however, a full-fledged parchment, which is salted, worked with flour, and processed with gall nuts, that's not considered ur. We said there's three types of ur of hide, because that's not hide anymore. That's already considered like parchment. Therefore, it's not counted amongst these three as a fourth type. But the measurement of klaf is mentioned in Masechta Shabbos of Ayin Tesem Beis, that it's enough to write a small parsha of the tefillin on it, but diftara is actually not kosher for tefillin, and therefore its shear is enough to write a text of a get on it. Again, that's what the Gemara introduced, just to define the halachic relevance of these three different types of ar, which one of them is this diftara. Now, continuing on, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Chacham Machshir. Chacham disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, and they say it's kosher to write a get on erased paper, meaning it was already erased before you wrote the get on it. So therefore, if it will be subsequently erased, which always a sign of forgery, it's not going to be a red flag because it was erased before they even wrote in it the first time. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says that's going to be pasul. But the Chacham says kosher on erased paper and on diftar. So the Gemara asks, Man Chacham. Who are the Chacham in our Mishnah? In other words, who are they and what's the reason why they say that it's kosher? Seemingly, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira has a good reason why it's pasul because it can be forged. And we don't want to allow a document, which let's say the husband said she's only divorced if there are certain contingencies, and she's not going to want to do that, and she's just going to erase that part, and she's going to show her get that I'm divorced, that's going to be inappropriate. So why would the Chacham allow such a get? So Amar Belazar, Belazar says, which is the Amar Belazar, he says, as we continue on to Amud Beis, that it's Rebbe Lazar, it's the Tana Rebbe Lazar. The Amar Eid Mesiri Karte, as we mentioned many times in this Masechta, who holds that what creates the creases, the severance of the get, is the witnesses of the giving over of the get from the husband to the wife. In other words, he holds that the signing of the witnesses in the get itself is not biblical. But since you don't have to have witnesses in the get, by default, Rabbi Elazar holds you have to have witnesses when the get is being given over. And that they qualify the get as something that makes the severance. Because as Rashi points out, you most definitely need to have witnesses in some part of the qualification of the document of the get. Because as the Gemara learns later on, the Tzadim and Aleph, we learn that erva, from the word davar that it says by arayis, which is what a get is, regarding relationships of intimacy, from mamanis, which also says the word davar. Where just like we know, al pishnayim edim yakum davar, regarding monetary law, you need to have two witnesses. So regarding arayis, regarding divorce, you also have to have two witnesses. Now, so Rebbe Meir holds that the two witnesses are those that are written in the get. Rebbe Elazar holds that that's not biblical. So where are his two witnesses? It's the two witnesses that witness the giving over of the get, which they're called the Edim Esira. Now, therefore, that's what Rebbe Elazar is explaining, that according to Rebbe Elazar, there's no concern for the forgery that's very likely on such a document, because as the Gemara said on Yutesim Abayis, the Edim Esira need to read the get as it's being given over from the husband to the wife. Now, if there were to be a condition that the husband wrote in the get when he's giving it over to the woman, they would know it because they read the get when it was being given over to her. Now, so therefore, according to this opinion of Edim Esira Karta, that they're the primary, when she later comes to get married, so she has to prove that she was divorced, she has to bring the witnesses who can verify the validity of the get, who they were there and saw it being given over from the husband to the wife. And they'll also say, hey, wait a second, she's not permitted to get married to someone else yet until she fulfills those conditions. Now, but according to Rebbe Meir, that he says that you don't need Edim Mesira. There don't have to be the witnesses that are there when the husband's giving over to the wife. Then, according to his opinion, most definitely, like Rebbe Yehuda ben Maseira said, you have to be concerned for Zia, for forgery, because they're going to be relying on the witnesses that are signed inside the get. Now, a woman that's now going to later come to get married based on this get, she's not going to bring the witnesses that signed in it, because, yeah, if you brought the witnesses who were signed in it, they would also say they were contingencies that we signed on. She's just going to bring other witnesses who recognize these signatures witnesses and say that they're kosher witnesses. So whatever they signed on is true. Now the problem is, if there was a condition, but then she went and forged it because she erased, which it's not a red flag because the paper was erased before they signed in the first place, or if it's difter, which erasing is not recognizable, no one's going to know the better of it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yudman Becerra, yes, since it can be forged, like Reb Meir, you can't use such a get. But the Chachamim are Reb Elazar, who cares? Do whatever you want to the document. We don't care what happens afterwards. It's the moment that it's given over that everyone sees what the Eid Masir sees what's on it. They'll be able to say, even if it's not in the document anymore because she erased it, that there was such a condition. Now, however, there is a machlik as how far this goes. V'amar Reb Elazar, but Reb Elazar took it one step further, the Amay Reb Elazar. He says, Lohikshi Reb Elazar el la'alta. But the Chacham in our Mishnah, who say that it's permitted with such a document, let's say of Diftara, only permitted it if it's immediately. In other words, that on the same day that it was given to her from her husband, the Mesira, that same day she comes to court to say, look, you know, I want to just notify you that I'm divorced, and they'll permit her to get married. Now, since right now this procedure was done, and it was done with the Eid Mesira, because, again, she could only become permitted with the witnesses of it being given over, coming and testifying for her. So again, you're right. So now we're not concerned anymore for forgery. Do whatever you want with the document. Court already knows she's divorced. We're not going to check anymore her get. But says Reb Elazar, but if it was only in 10 days from now, that then she comes with her document, with her get, to show, hey, look, here I am divorced, and I'll even bring my Eid Mesir with me, then actually you can't use such a get like Diftara or Niyamachik. Why? Because then we are concerned that there was a condition in the get and she forged it. Now, although she has to bring her Eid Mesira, maybe they forgot. These are people who have jobs, they have lives, they're busy with things. Now, they were there. Yeah, we saw the husband gave it over to the wife. What did it say in it? I don't know, it was 10 days ago. Let's check the document. No, you can't check the document because it's the type of document that could easily be forged. You don't remember if these conditions. So even according to Reb Elazar, the Chacham of our Mishnah, that says kasher, it's only right away. 10 days from now, people are going to forget. Then it's going to run into the problems of forgery, even according to the opinion of Reb Elazar. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he argues on that Moir Reb Elazar, and he says, no, afil mekana desar yamim, even in 10 days from now, because dim isa dahava beitana, if it were true that there was a condition, mitkir dechiri, they would remember, they would recall, and therefore there's no problem, even if it's not done. Immediately the Chacham would still hold its kasher, which such a get, because the Eid Mesir will testify if there was a condition or not. Now another machlek is, va'am Reb Elazar, another qualification that he puts into this, is that lahichshir Reb Elazar ila begitin. This whole halacha of allowing, which again we're saying that there's the Eid Mesir over here that they'll know anyway, so who cares if it's a forgeable type of a document, says Reb Elazar that the Tanna Reb Elazar only allowed this by gittin. Because the whole purpose of a get is to permit the woman to be able to get married. Now, so then she could bring it to court potentially, immediately, and be permitted. And then she doesn't need the get anymore. So, and once she's permitted in Besdin, so then everyone knows about it and the word gets out that she's divorced because the court's already verified that she's divorced. So by gittin, then it's something that is allowed to be done with such a document. Al Bishar Staris, but says Reb Elazar, but by other documents. Now, what's the intention of other documents? By a get, the intention is to use it right away. Here's your get, you're divorced. What's the purpose of getting divorced? Okay, you're not married to him, but it said it allows you to move on and get married to someone else, or at least to have the status of divorce. And you want to verify that right away when you go to court. Once the court verifies it, it's over. You don't need the get anymore. But by other documents, the whole purpose of the document is to be able to collect with it. Now, what does that mean? That's not right away. Whatever it is that you're collecting from, it's obviously the person had to write you a document because it might be something for a long-term type of a thing, let's say a loan or whatever it is. Now, by that point in time, even if you have witnesses that were there when the document was given over from one to the other person, they might forget. So who are you going to end up relying on? The witnesses who were signed inside the document. Now, the problem is, if you're writing on a diftara or a niyamachik, then the one who's holding the document can forge whatever he wants on the upper lines, and he leaves the witness's signature on the bottom, and then he can do all types of stuff. So therefore, says Reb Elazar, then loy. Other documents, then you can't utilize, even according to Reb Elazar, with Eid Mesira, you can't utilize this diftara or in a paper that was written on that was already erased. Because the chsilik, it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, The pasuk says, "Unesatom mechli charis." You should place this document in an earthenware vessel. This was a pasuk that Hashem was telling to Yirmiyah regarding a document of a sale, which although they were going to exile, he wanted to show them they're going to come back. He asked them to go buy land from his cousin and take that doc and write up a document. Put that document in the earthenware vessel. And the reason why you would do that is Laman Yamdu Yamin Rabim, that it should last for a long time. So what you see from that pasuk is that obviously when it comes to documents of other shtaris regarding monetary law, it's because you need it to last for a long time. And that's why Hashem told them to put it into an earthenware vessel. So things like that, which they're for a long time, and the witnesses who saw it being given over for sure, and if I get by that point in time, there even Rabbi Lazar would agree that you cannot write on Difter or Niyam Mocha because you're going to come to rely on the witnesses signed in the document. Now, Rabbi Yechanan disagrees also on this qualification of Rabbi Lazar, and he says, no, Rabbi Lazar's permissibility is that filibishtaris, is even by other documents. Now, Havoksiv Leman Yamdu Yom Ram, now although you brought me a right from the passing in Yirmiyah that says, so that it shall last for long times, which seemingly that would make your presumption correct, that Shar Shtar should be different because it's for long periods of time. And that he says, no, Hasim Eitzah Teva Kamash Malon, that was just, it wasn't a halacha that Hashem was telling Yirmiyah, that it should be something that lasts for a long time, and therefore then for sure you're going to be relying on the document. That was just giving him a good advice, which is, if you want to be able to collect with your document, put it in a place where you know it'll last, but it's not an inherent intrinsic halacha regarding Shar Shtaris. And therefore, says Rabbi Yechon, there's no difference. Rabbi Lazar's halacha would apply not only by Gittin, but even by Shar Shtaris, where again, the Eid Mesira are valid references, and they would remember if there's any contingencies and conditions, and therefore, you'd be allowed to write the document, even by Shar Shtaris, on Diftira and Yar Machik. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which is talking about the writing of the get. So we spoke about what it could be written with, what type of ink, what it could be written on. Now the Mishnah continues, Hakol kasherin lichta v'saget. Everyone is kosher, is permitted to write the get. Afil l'chera shayt v'katan. Even a deaf mute, someone that's mentally deranged, and a minor, which a lot of times they're excluded from certain halachas because they're considered inlem das. They don't have the appropriate intellect. But here, it's different as the Gemara will explain. Now, moreover, the Mishnah says something interesting, is that ha'isha keseves es gita. The custom, what ended up happening was that the woman would write her own get. Now, why is that? Now, moreover, that there's a problem that's inherent in that is because v'chasav la sebekrisa says he has to write it, not her. So actually what she ends up doing is she gets it authored, she pays for it, she writes it, then she gives it over halacha kinyan to her husband, and then the husband then goes back and gives it to her and divorces her. Again, as we'll see, the reasons are because that the husband doesn't want to and he's not getting involved, but she wants her get, so she takes care of the whole thing. She just gives it to him halachically, and then it's considered like v'chasav la sebekrisa, and then benasan b'yad, and he gives it to her. The same thing is actually true the other way too. V'ish kaisiv es sheivari. The man writes his own receipt. In other words, the receipt for the payment of the wife's ksuba, which is that actually the woman was supposed to write the receipt, meaning he pays her the ksuba, she's supposed to write a receipt that you're paid, and then she gives it to him that he has proof that he paid her. But again, since she might be negligent on that, so actually what ended up happening is that the husband wrote up the receipt, so he makes sure he has it, and he gives it to her, and he gives it, and she gives it to him. Now the reason why that these are allowed to work like this is because she'in kim haget el b'chisama. The validation of the get is only qualified with the signatures, meaning the writing of the get, whoever's domain it was when it was written, that's not a problem. So although the woman, it's in the woman's domain when she's writing it, that's not a problem because of a chasav la sebekrisa, the qualification of the get actually is when it's being signed. So the woman gets it authored, she writes it, meaning she has the sefer writing it for her. When it's finished writing, then she gives it to the husband, and then the husband has the witnesses sign it. So it's like he wrote the get, and then he gives it to the wife, so therefore that's a valid procedure that they do with the woman writes it up, then gives it to the husband, and the husband signs it and gives it to the wife, and that's how she gets divorced.